If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of St. Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 18. I'm believing God to bless us this morning with the power of his grace and minister to us. I want to read verses 1 through 8. Amen. I've got 30 minutes. Some of y'all know what that means when I do that. This thing actually, it don't actually do it, but I pretend it does anyway. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? For I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. Father God, use me as an oracle of your divine presence to minister to them your word, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful, and I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Glory. We appreciate you being here this morning, the visitors and the ones that are here, amen, visiting with us today. We ask God to bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I'd simply entitled Staying in the Fire. Now, I like it when we have times of refreshing as we stepped into this past week. What bothers me is when the man leaves and the refreshing seems to stop. It goes back to business as usual, and it shouldn't do that. When we move up a ladder, we don't want to climb back down. We want to keep going up. And the way that happens is we learn how to hang on to what we got. You see, a lot's being said about revival, but we're living in a generation when God wants to spread his spirit all over the world. The problem is it's hard to get excited about a new move of God when I've been trying to hang on to it for 37 years. Lord, come on, church, smile. The last few years, there's been a move to some toward more preaching about prophecy and the coming of the Lord. And so now we begin to take on the expectation Jesus is coming. And then some starts preaching about revival. Hey, man, we start racing with the rapture. Oh, we got to get it done. And it just kind of gets us so excited, about blows our mind. We're trying to get a revival, waiting on the Lord to come. We're packing our bags to go and trying to have a move of God at the same time. Can I tell you, church, if you get ready, you ain't got to worry about packing your bags. You just get ready. Because whatever you got down here, you don't need to take it with you. Could you say amen? Come on, church. That's pretty good preaching. Amen. In the middle of all this, people are still discouraged. There's a move of God going on. God's getting ready to come. Well, we got folks sitting in the house of God that's so discouraged they can't enjoy church. Hello? And you know what? The reason the discouragement's not always somebody didn't treat them right or somebody hurt them. You know, some people are sitting here because they've been praying for a long time for something and it hadn't come to pass. Hello? We're not talking about a day or a week or a month. We got some folks that I've talked to, been praying for something for years, and it hadn't happened. And they're discouraged, saying, oh, I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think it's ever going to take place. Look, it took 27 years for Joseph to see his dream come true. But when he finally got to that point, it came through just like God said it was going to. And let's face it, it didn't all look like it was going to be roses while it was going on. He has this dream that his brothers was going to bow in front of him and pay homage to him as their leader. And he messed up and told them that. Now, if you're the younger brother of a bunch of older guys, you don't go telling them how they're going to grovel at your feet, especially when they're already upset because you got a nice looking coat. Hello? And they did what any set of brothers would do. They got rid of him, disowned him, faked his death, told his daddy he's gone, and sold him into slavery. One of them said, let's don't kill him, let's sell him, make some money off of him. He'll be just as gone. He ends up a slave. God blesses him as a slave. Hello? He's blessed as a son of Jacob. Then he's blessed while he's in the pit. Then he gets sold into slavery and he gets blessed. Next thing you know, he's the chief slave for one of the top leaders of Egypt. Got things going good. Everything's going wonderful. And then the devil throws a haymaker at him. And he gets Potiphar's wife to desire him. Perfect opportunity to mess up. Got a young wife married to an old man that's got money. She ain't gonna tell on nobody because she don't want to lose the money. She says, "Why don't you come in the house and lie with me?" And you know what? He remembered something some of us seem to forget sometimes. It ain't the people around you. You got to worry about knowing what's going on. He said, "How can I sin against God? There ain't a Hebrew within 1,000 miles. My dad ain't never going to know. My family ain't never going to know. But the God I serve is going to know what's going on in my life. And because of that, I'm going to leave this place and I'm not doing what you want." Next thing you know, he's in prison. And he gets blessed in prison. Next thing you know, he's doing real good down there and life's going great. Amen. You realize you can get blessed no matter where you are. Amen. Next thing you know, his buddy comes up to him and says, "Look, I understand you know how to tell dreams. What does this mean?" He told him, and he went and told the guy the name of his dream and got out of jail with it and forgot Joseph. Then all of a sudden the king has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can figure it out, so they'll go get Joseph and bring him in. And Joseph tells him, and next thing you know, he's the second ruler of the kingdom. His brothers show up and they bow before him. You know what he told them? "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It may have took 27 years, but God gave me this vision 27 years ago. And everything I went through to get me where I am." Can I tell you, some of you need to wake up and realize what you're going through. It's just getting you to the place where God wants you to be. Understand that word "through" is important. If you start somewhere, there's going to be a finish. You're not staying there. You're coming out, and there's going to be victory on the other side. If you just learn how to hang on to God and let God have his way, sooner or later, God said, "I am going to do it speedily." Woo. Come on, church. I don't know if y'all understand that or not. That's pretty quick. He said, "God will avenge you speedily." Amen. We talk about revival. We talk about a move of God. Then we look around us and there's drugs and alcohol, divorce and all kind of problems going on. And then somebody said, "Brother, you can't have a revival with all this going on." I'll be honest with you, church. I've never understood that. I used to go to a place to have revivals and evangelists. And I'd come in and they'd say, "Oh, yeah, we're going to have revival. The devil's moving." I didn't know you had revival because the devil got to moving. I thought you had revival because God started doing something. Come on, church. I don't know if y'all understand that the devil's moving all the time. I don't have to get the devil moving. He works on his own. I got to get busy with God, get God moving. And when God starts to move, then I get to move in with him. Then I get to be an overcomer in his power. Glory. Are we just beating our heads against the wall? Amen. Can we really have a life-changing move of God that'll change us? I like what the pastor said the other night when he was preaching, Brother Hall. He said, "I used to have people hit the floor and get up and never change." If God blesses you and you never change, there's something wrong with the blessing you got. Come on, church. Amen. I'm a firm believer that when you come in contact with God, it'll read like it read in the Bible. When those guys came looking for the child Jesus, notice what it said. They went back another way. They actually went back where they came from, but they left another way. Can I tell you, if you get in touch with God, you're always going to go another way. You're not going to leave the way you came. Come on, church. I may have went to an altar, a drug addict, alcoholic, but I came out of it, and I no longer was a drug addict. I no longer was an alcoholic. Old things had passed away. All things became new because something happened when I came into contact with God. Could you say amen? Amen. We need that kind of life-changing revival. People think, "Well, preacher, you're not rational." So? That's not feasible in this day. Why ain't it? Well, you just can't have that kind of move of God. You know, I've been hearing people preach about a real move of God for 37 years. I've seen God do things. I've seen God move. But you know what? I still ain't seen what I want to see. Amen. I remember years ago, Alex used to travel with me in the summertime. Lisa did when she got older. But I used to enjoy that. They'd go with me. We'd spend time together in the car. You know. And we'd go out to eat and have a big time after church, come on home. And I mean, Alex would go sometime. We'd get home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Next day, he'd be ready to go again. And we'd head out and go places to preach. And I'll never forget one night we got in the car, started home. And he looked over me and he said, "Hey, Dad, when you was talking up there a while ago, was you really telling the truth? Was you just preaching?" I'm afraid that's what some of us believe. Oh, that preacher's just preaching. He don't really believe that. I got news for you, church. I really believe we still have a God who is able to pick us up out of the things of this world and change our life. I've got a God that can break the bondage of sin. I got a God that can set the captive free. I got a God that can change your life's place and put you in a new place and take away the sorrow and the heartache and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And if I didn't believe that, I'd get another job. But I know that I know that I know that my God is still on the throne and he still is in charge. And as long as God's on the throne, a move of his glory is possible. Hallelujah. Listen, Mary, at the time the angel spoke to her, Luke chapter 1. Have you ever read that story? And the angel came unto Mary and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind, asking her mind, "What manner of salutation is this?" And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And then Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know no man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Amen. I'm going to leave that last verse off for a second. I want to show you something in a moment. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" He said, something's going to happen to you that's going to change you this very day. From now on, you won't be the same. From now on, the Spirit of God's going to touch you. Something's going to happen to you, and it's going to be something you can't get away from. Amen. You imagine that. She comes up with all the people talking, you know, the discussion. I mean, even her espoused husband decides to put her away because he feels like she's committed adultery, and that was the common sense, that this young lady's been laying with Roman soldiers and had committed adultery, and that's why she's really pregnant. And she goes through all the talk, listens to everything. He gets a little confirmation when an angel talks to Joseph. Say, "Go ahead and take her. It's okay. That's going to be born to her is of God." Amen. That baby's finally born. He goes through life normal for a while. Then at 12 years old, he blows everybody's mind because he can quote scripture better than they can. Come on, church. I mean, my Lord, if I was a Bible, I could quote myself. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Glory. Read John chapter 1, then you'll figure it out. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Who was that? Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Amen. He walks into the temple and blows their mind, quoting scripture to them. Amen. Next thing you know, they get him on up in the world. He starts his ministry. Things run good. Then all of a sudden he gets some sideways with the religious folks because he ain't running down their avenue. I mean, you know, that's just not the way we've always done it. I get so sick of that when I hear church folks. That ain't the way we always done it. Who cares how you always done it? If it's the Word of God, get a hold of it and do it. I hung around Ken a little too much last week, didn't I? Glory. You know, Ken and Ken are kin. Y'all figure that out in a little while. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, that's where we at. We got a lot of folks that, "Well, we ain't never done it that way before." That might be why you ain't never gone nowhere before. Amen. You know, if I do something that don't work, I usually look for a better way to do it. That's good preaching. Amen. Notice this. She had to have gotten discouraged. Right in the middle of a good ministry, 3 years in, he gets arrested, gets put up on a cross. I would imagine standing there, she's wondering, is this really the Son of God? Did I mess up? Did I miss something somewhere? But can I tell you, at the resurrection, she's still hanging around because something happened to her when she talked to that angel that she couldn't get away from. I don't know about you, but we need a move of God in our heart that the devil can't steal with some aggravation that happens in this world. We need a move of God in our lives that we can't get away from, that 20 years from now, the Lord tarry, we still know there's a fire and a glory and a power of God that can move in our hearts. Now, I held on for a minute. Well, preacher, you know, you can't have revival in America. They're having revival in Europe. I've been there and seen it. They're having revival in South America, Central America. I've been there and seen it. Have revival in Africa. I've not been there, but I've heard about it. I went there by internet. Some guy got on the internet, downloaded some sermons off the internet thing that I had when I was an evangelist, and I don't know how many hundreds of people got saved in a village, and they kept calling, wanting me to come over and preach, and I never could understand what he was saying. Frida Kadesh, she answered the phone, tried to talk to him one night. He was calling from Africa. Y'all met that man. I was preaching for Brother Barnes here one Sunday morning. He came in the back. He was visiting somebody in Bessemer. He was from Tanzania. I never forget, church was over. We were going to eat. He walked up to me. He said, "Do you understand me now?" I am the one who has been calling you. I still ain't been to Tanzania. I may make it one day. Glory. But you know, church, the reality is they're having to move a God in Europe, having to move a God in Africa, having to move a God in Central South America. Why can't we have a move of God in America? I'm sick of people telling me, "Well, we're burned over with religion." Pay attention to the last verse. I skipped it on purpose. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with whom she is barren." Amen. He said, "Now, you're a young lady going to have a new thing, but there's an old lady over yonder fixing to have something at the same time to let you know it's real." Hallelujah. Can I tell you, if there's revival in Central America and in Europe and Africa and places God never moved before in the past, he can start moving in America again. That same God that wants to move over there still wants to move right here. And it's time some of us lift it up and realize God has given it to us as a sign. It is time to get on our knees and say, "God, one more time, send an old-fashioned move of the power of God that'll shake our houses to the foundation." Glory. Is the church too old to have revival? Isaiah chapter 59. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear." Well, that'd be awesome. We just stopped right there, wouldn't it? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." God says, "I don't have a problem doing it. You got the problem that keeps me from being able to do it." Oh, I know y'all don't like that. You want me to just keep going on about how great he could do it. But the reason he's not doing it, it's because of us. God hasn't changed. That same God that moved in the great revivals over the years, still the same God on the throne who still desires to move among his people. But he told Isaiah, "Tell the people, it is you. Your iniquities, your sins, your things that have turned me away from you, because I cannot commune with you in the condition you're in." Well, I just don't believe God can do it. He said speedily, didn't he? I'm in firm agreement with our evangelist from last week. If God said it, we don't have to do nothing about it. It'll happen. Well, preacher, you got to believe it. If God says it, I ain't got to believe it. Come on, church. I wasn't there in Genesis, so I didn't believe God could create the world, but he said it and it happened. Hello? Some of y'all sitting there saying, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with it?" Look, Genesis chapter 1, God can prove to you don't need your help. What are you talking about? Verse 3, God said it, it was done. Verse 4 or 7, God said it, it was done. Verse 9, God said it, it was done. Verse 11, God said it was done. Verse 14, God spoke it. Verse 15, it's done. Verse 24, God said it, it's done. Verse 29, God said it. Verse 30, it's done. What are you getting at? He didn't need me to okay it. He didn't have to go through some college of cardinals to vote to see it was all right. When God says, "Is this going to happen?" Can I tell you, God has said all along, he desires to move among his people. He desires to dwell with us. That's what he's been after all along. And if we could just learn to get where we need to be and get in the fire and let God move, our God can still do it. Could you say amen? Glory. Speedily. That's what he means. What would you like it when folks come try to give you a meaning? They'll read something to you and say, "Now here's what he meant. I think he meant what he said." Hello? I used to get tickled. People would come to Buell and they'd preach and they thought all those just a bunch of bumpkins that fell off a cabbage truck somewhere. And they come down there and try to explain it to us. God said he'll do it speedily. That means he's going to do it speedily. Come on, church. Hello? You see, if I'm excited about what God's going to do, it's nobody's fault but the church. See, I wasn't Pentecostal. I wasn't raised Church of God. I get tickled when people talk about third, fourth generation Church of God. I was at a camp meeting one time. This guy was bragging. He said, I'm fourth generation Church of God right here in Alabama. My granddaddy was in the Alabama City Church when it started. I said, my papa built it or you wouldn't have nowhere to have church. I wasn't raised Church of God. I was raised by a backslidden Methodist preacher. I didn't know nothing about Pentecost. All I knew was them folk were crazy at the Church of God. I mean, where I went to church, if you said amen out loud, they'd look at you. You could call off a couple of places I went and they'd tap you on the shoulder and say, hush. See, some of y'all ain't never been to some of them churches, but I have. I've been to some Church of Gods like that. I'm serious. I've been to Church of God one time where I asked the pastor, raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. He said, why? I went, well, I thought it was appropriate, but I missed that one. Glory. Hello? I got in the Church of God. I didn't know nothing about Pentecost. I just knew I got saved. God delivered me from drugs and alcohol. I went through about a four-week experience of total change. Man, I went from a hippie freak, drug addict, to shaved head fanatic. Hello? I'm serious. I got my hair cut and ended up my head shaved. Nobody knew who I was. It wasn't intentional. It just happened that way. Then I got sanctified. I didn't know what it was, but I got it. Then I got hungry for the Holy Ghost because they told me I needed it, but they didn't know what it was. They couldn't explain it, and I still can't. But exactly 1 month to the day after I got saved, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I came to church, and I got excited, and I got to dancing and shouting, and this old joker looked at me, and he said, go ahead, boy, enjoy it. You'll cool off after a while. A few years later, I shouted one night, run up beside him. I said, I'm glad I ain't froze like you. Come on, church. See, some of y'all looking at me with that frosty look. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, some of y'all got a problem. When the music stops, you quit dancing. I got the beat inside. Hello? Come on, church. I talked to somebody the other night and said, preacher, you dance? I said, I sure do. They said, I thought you got saved. You had to quit dancing. I said, no, I changed partners. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Oh, y'all missing it. Glory. Here's the problem. We've become paralyzed by analyzing. What are you talking about, preacher? I wonder if that's God. I don't believe that's God. I believe in 2 Corinthians I read where that's not God. Come on, church. Then you got somebody you don't like or you've been talking about running down the aisle shouting. You're going, oh, I know that ain't God. It ain't possible they prayed through and you didn't. Hey, can you go crank my car up? It's looking rough between here and the back door right now. Glory. But I am preaching the truth. Some of you couldn't shout because somebody else is doing it. You got to understand, if God forgives them, you ain't got no choice. Amen. Oh, God, that's good stuff. Amen. Luke, he said, I'm going to avenge you speedily. What does it mean? I don't want people to tell me what God said. I want to hear what he said. Matthew 26:53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He said, I know it's been a while, but I can still pray and God will do it presently. That's kind of like speedily, isn't it? Come on, church. Amen. I mean, I'm going to do it real quick. He said, I'll pray and presently God will take care of it. Church, I know it may have been a long time for some of y'all while you've been praying for something, but listen, the minute God says it, it's going to start taking place. It ain't going to take all night. It's not going to take forever. Come on, church. Don't throw in the towel on what you've been praying about. Just keep believing God, and no matter what happens, understand God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we would ever ask or think. Could you say amen? Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Amen. You see, the problem is we base our faith, the entire thing we believe on what's going to happen instead of on what has happened. I am not here because I'm going to go to heaven one day. I'm not here because God's going to do something for me. I am here because Jesus Christ died at the cross. His blood was shed for my sin. And because one day I got underneath that blood and he washed away my sins and he brought me over to the love of his grace. And because of that, I know that I know that I know my God is real. Could you say amen? I don't base my faith on what might happen. I don't base my faith on what's going to be in the future. I base my faith on what I know is fact. And because of that I know my God can do it. We got to base it on things that are happening. Come on, church. Jesus took care of some things when he died. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, behold, I show unto you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We which are alive, we shall be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And then will come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who hath given me victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. You know what he said? He said, if I'm under the blood and there is no sin, then there's no sting to death. There is nothing to fear of what's coming, because I know God has already paved the way. I'm not believing something that's going to happen. I'm believing in what already has taken place. He's coming. Notice what he said. In the moment, in the twinkling. Whew, that's kind of like speedily, isn't it? Glory. Hello? Well, preacher, if it's that fast, how are we going to get loved ones saved? We ain't got time. 430 years they're in bondage in Egypt. And then one night, 3 to 5 million of them walked out because God said it's time. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, we got time to get our loved ones saved. And even if it's in the ninth hour, they still going to make it when the trumpet sounds. Could you say amen to that, church? Glory. Can't have revival. Takes weeks to get victory for some. No, it don't. Romans chapter 6, I quoted this the other night. Some of y'all missed it. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Well, that's kind of like speedily, isn't it? You know what God said? It ain't a problem to get you on his head. It's a problem keeping you up there. Come on, church. I know it's past 12. But I didn't preach last week. I got overload. And I was up early. Glory. Come on, church. It ain't going to take long, especially if y'all help me. I get excited. I'm ripped up on apple pies. Glory. Somebody brought some to the office, and I told her a plate was waiting on her. Glory. I mean, you're sitting there studying and reading, and you're eating, and the next thing you know, the plate's empty. Glory. Hello? Amen. Daniel. Chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, truth. Now, church, let me tell you something. They bind these boys up, throw them in a fire. It's so hot it killed the people throwing them in. Yet the king wakes up in the middle of the night all upset, goes running down there and looks in the fire to see what's going on. And he turned around and said, didn't we just put 3 guys in there? Well, what woke him up? The power of Satan in him. Because you see, any time you want to get Satan disturbed, you get some Pentecostals in a fire and he gets upset about it. Come on, church. They didn't think about what they're doing. They put them boys right where they wanted to be. I don't know about y'all, but good Pentecostals like a good fire. I mean, we'll get in that thing and shout and carry on. And it never fails. We get a fire going, we'll start multiplying. Come on, church. Oh, some of y'all missed it.
Glory. I got to get like brother. Some of y'all ain't hearing me. Glory. Man, I need to tape that and just play it every time so I won't just be repeating him. But he's got the truth. Some of y'all missed that. You see, when we get fire and we start multiplying, it'll mess the devil up because he can't handle that. And the devil woke up in the middle of the night, goes running down. I said, we only throw three in. Why is there four? And one of them looks like the Son of God, done got in the fire with him. Honey, I'm ready to get in the fire and say, God, get in here with me. I want something to take place. Could you say amen? Last page. One verse or one chapter. Isaiah chapter 6. Isn't it amazing? Isaiah writes a whole book, and the first five chapters, he's woeing everybody passes. I've heard some of y'all doing that. Woe be unto them, and woe be unto them. I get phone calls in the middle of the night. Pastor, I don't want to disturb you, but did you hear about so-and-so? I'm glad none of y'all gossip, because you got to repeat it to gossip. Y'all just say it one time, then let me figure out the rest of it. And y'all look at all them people, whoa, 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 whoa. You ever notice Isaiah did that for five chapters, and all of a sudden something strange happened? In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Five chapters, he's tearing everybody up, and then all of a sudden he gets a vision of God, and what's the next thing out of his mouth? Woe is me. You ever notice that folks that really get a good vision of God quit worrying about everybody else and start paying attention to themselves? Hey, man, I'm going to be honest with you, church. I have enough trouble keeping me right trying to keep up with everybody else's stuff. Come on, oh, that's good preaching. I got somebody, I ain't calling him no more. Hallelujah. Glory. You got a need, call me. But if you just gonna gossip about something, I don't care. Especially in the middle of the night. I've had people call me in the middle of the night, tell me that they heard about so-and-so. I'm like, when do you go to bed? If it had been an hour early, I'd have still been up. I thought they was waiting to see if the lights went off. Call him. Oh, come on, church, smile. You call me anytime you need me. I'll be there. You call me anytime you want to talk about a problem. I'll listen. But some of you need to lay off some things. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Notice what it said. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. One had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And he cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth shall be full of his glory. And I noticed this last verse. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with his glory. That's what I want to happen. I want this house so full of God's glory that everybody comes in, gets shook to the core by it. But now for that to happen, notice what had to happen. God spoke, and the pillars of the temple moved. Oh, I'm fitting to get personal now. God spoke, and the pastor's council shouted. God spoke, and the Sunday school teachers went out in the spirit. God spoke, and all the leaders of the different departments moved in his presence. God spoke, and because the leaders were moving, everybody else said, let's get in. And the next thing you know, there was the glory of God flowing through the house because the leadership was moving first. Come on, church, don't look at me like that. If I don't go, you're not going to go. But if I'll go, some of you will follow. And if some will follow, some others will follow. And sooner or later, we're going to get a stream going. And then the glory of God's going to come down. It's time some of us made up our mind. We need a move of God more than anything else. It's not going to start at the bottom and come up. It's got to start at the top. And the only way we're going to get it is to hunger and thirst after the glory of Almighty God. But he said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Stand with me all over the house.